I just want to welcome everyone to our 49th Poindexter Award and Ceremony Dinner. This event is our kickoff to celebrating our 50th anniversary. The Black Caucus of Health Workers is the oldest and first caucus formed within APHA. It was founded in my hometown of Detroit, Michigan in 1968, which you know that we're going through turbulent times. So we thank our early members and our founders for seeing the need to address issues that are affecting our community, especially those who don't have a voice. Our Poindexter was named after Dr. Poindexter, who was a renowned physician scientist. He helped not only the United States, but also had global aspects. So this event helps to honor those who have followed after his footsteps. Our Poindexter awardees are those who have been recipients of the Community Service Awards and also in the Lewis Stokes Legislative Service Award. So please help me tonight honor those. And sometimes they're not honored in their hometowns, but we haven't forgotten about them. So once again, I thank everybody for being here. And if you have any questions, we hope to answer everything by the end of this program. Thank you for being here. So next we will have the presentation of the colors.
Please join me as we sing the Black National Anthem, verses 1 and 3, followed by our national anthem.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmony of liberty. Let our rejoice. Stray from the places our God where we shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land.
You can applaud.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Oh, the land of the free and the brave.
Freddie Cook, right there, march forward, march.
You may be seated. Let us pray. Before I do that, we come with many representations of our faith expressions. We come with representation of many of the communities in which we serve. As such, I'm going to ask as I end the prayer that we honor your traditions and you close the prayer as you normally would do so. All right? Let us pray. God, we thank you for all that you do. We come with honoring you with many names, but God, we know that you are that which keeps us. And so we ask now that you continue to be with us in the midst of this launch of the 50th anniversary. We thank you for what you've done for us thus far. And now, God, we ask that you be in the midst, that you continue to bless the Black Caucus of Health Workers, that you continue to bless each and every one of us in our work. We thank you, God, for Reverend April Brown, for the work that she has done in her leadership. We thank you for all of the officers. So now, God, we turn this over to you so that you can continue to bless us as we attempt to bless others. We ask this now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, it's okay. Breathe. It's all right. Breathe. Okay. I better be still, huh?
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It is truly a pleasure and an honor to be here with you this evening. As you can tell, I'm very excited. And not only am I excited, I'm very blessed to be here with you today. My name is Barbara Norman, Dr. Norman. I am from Chicago, the beloved city. And certainly, I must say, given that we're in the house of the Morehouse Men, I must also say that I'm a proud member of the Liberty Baptist Church, who is pastored by Pastor Jackson, who is the third generation Morehouse graduate. And I told the pastor I would make sure I make that announcement. So give it up. On a serious note, I want to say that I am truly proud to be the president-elect for the Hildreth Poindexter Award Dinner for this evening under the leadership of our own pastor, Dr. April Brown, who I've had an opportunity to work with over these years. I tell you, it's a privilege to work with someone who is so amenable and willing to share and share all her knowledge with me, and I've learned so much. And I want to take this opportunity to let her know how much I appreciate her. I must also say in my acknowledgement, she told me, make sure don't speak too long. She said, because you are going to be near the closing remarks. So I'll save some of my comments, but also to welcome our honorees, which she will do as well, and have to acknowledge my niece who came with me, Miss Tracy Daniels from Chicago, because Auntie had this cane. And I must say that it's only temporary, thank God, and that I felt so humble. I really realized what it's like when you have to have it permanently. And I'm just blessed to say that mine is only temporary. And thank you, Tracy, for bringing me. And my cousin, Michael Brown, Aaron Michael Brown, who's also here, who came from Barnesville, who's from Kansas City, where our family is from, and so I'm honored. And as we go on with our Poindexter Award dinner for the honoree, we will start with Dr. Brown is going to present the first honoree to honor Dr. Georges C. Benjamin. We all know Dr. Benjamin. Well, give it. All right, we will continue with Dr. Brown and honoree Dr. Benjamin. Well, we've had a change, but it's okay. We go smooth with it, right? Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I want to bring you greetings. I am Dr. Kamara Jones. I'm the immediate past president of the American Public Health Association, but I bring you greetings today from the president and dean of the Morehouse School of Medicine, Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, and from our 16th Surgeon General, Dr. David Satcher, who unfortunately wasn't able to
meet him.
Oh, where is he? Oh, wait. Oh, wait. He's supposed to be up here. Dr. Satcher, you're supposed to be up here. What? Oh, excuse me. Okay, and I'm delighted to recognize so many friends here, and Dr. Benjamin is our first honoree, Dr. Georges Benjamin, who is the executive director of the American Public Health Association. You will see all of his details in the program, and Dr. Benjamin, should I call him up now?
Yes,
Dr. Benjamin, please. Come with me. We're pleased to honor you. I think it's confused. Would you like to say a few words?
Right.
Thank you.
While I get in the plaques and things together, thank you very, very much. I'm just absolutely honored to accept this award. I love watching the color guard. Some of you may know in my thinner days. I was actually the poster child for Navy ROTC in the country for about a year and a half. Then I gained weight. So now it's that lovely seeing those young people honoring our nation the way that they did.
So I don't have it in hand yet. I think, yes, okay, so Dr. Brown.
All right, okay.
Dr. Benjamin, the Black Caucus of Health Workers considers you our living legend. The Black Caucus of Health Workers considers you our living legend and our hidden figure of public health. And we thank you for all the support that you have provided us throughout the years. And so we would like to present you with this award, Hidden Figures of Public Health, to Dr. Benjamin. Also, we have a testimonial resolution signed by all members of the Detroit City Council, just acknowledging all the contributions that you have made, and we thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
What's his next? Was she taking pictures?
I don't think he's getting an old film.
Okay, all right, all right. All right, thank you so much. Okay. All right, thank you so much. Okay. All right, now we ask for Dr. Matthew Lynn to come up. We want to acknowledge his presence. We thank you for him being here. He is our Deputy Assistant Secretary for Minority Health and Director of the Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health. Please help me.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Dr. Brown, for your kind introduction, thank you, and for inviting me to be part of this event. It is a really great honor for me to be in this historical campus at the Morehouse School of Medicine, particularly as you are celebrating your largest first year class to date. Dr. Benjamin, it is good to see you again as one of the nation's most influential physician leaders. You have been unwavering in your support for building a true healthcare system in the United States, where we focus on preventing disease and improving life. I really also like to acknowledge Dr. Eileen Lister. She has been the Regional Health Consultant here in Atlanta since year 2001. As all of you know, she's an extremely influential and important advocate and a leader for reducing health disparity in the region. So, congratulations, Dr. Lister. There is no one more deserving of being honored by the APHA Black Caucus of the Health Worker. To all of other who has been honored tonight, I want to commend you on your accomplishment as well. And I also want to congratulate the APHA Black Caucus of Health Workers as you begin to celebrate your 50th anniversary. This is a major milestone. On behalf of the Office of Minority Health and HHS, I want to commend you for 50 years of addressing the special nature of public health challenges facing people of color in the United States. I have dedicated much of my life work to making sure that everyone has the opportunity to reach their full potential for health, for good health, because I think this is one of the most important things that we can do for the health of Americans and for America. And I cannot describe how proud I am to continue this mission as a new Deputy Assistant Secretary for Minority Health only 2 months after today. Don't worry, I will continue learning. And the Director of the HHS Office of Minority Health in August. Of course, in any job you do, you cannot have success without the support and commitment of the broad range of the partners. For us at the OMH, it is people and organizations like APHA and the Black Caucus of Health Workers that share our commitment to improve health and health care for racial and ethnic minority and disadvantaged population. As we look to the future, I know you will continue insisting that we shine a light on the barrier facing by the vulnerable and underserved. And I know you will work with us side by side as we strive to reach those who are most in need. And as the new director of OMH, I'm very much looking forward to join you in this journey. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's my great honor to honor Captain Irene Lister, DDS. She's a dentist, and she has been serving our Department of Health and serving our community for almost 20 years. Is Dr. Captain Irene Lister here?
Thank you. So I promise I won't be long. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
In researching how to craft an acceptance speech, these words came across loud and clear. You need to be short, succinct, don't tell jokes, especially if you're not, don't have natural wit to tell jokes. So there'll be no jokes tonight. With that, I want to thank you, Dr. Lynn, for those kind words, the members of the Black Caucus on Health Workers, PHS officers, my OMH colleagues, and all who supported my nomination as the 2017 recipient of the Hildreth Poindexter Award. With knowledge of Dr. Poindexter's contributions to public service and commitment to improve the health of mankind worldwide, I am earnestly grateful to carry his torch and to join the ranks of all former recipients who have done the same. I have faced several challenges on my way here, but each of them has only strengthened to make me stronger and the person that I am today. Winning this award would not have been possible without the inspiration I have received from my seniors and my leaders, for whom I have the deepest respect. And most of all, it wouldn't be possible without the support of my husband, Sheldon, for whom has given me the strength to embark upon my next journey to the chilly winters of the Great Plains of Rosebud, South Dakota, to service the many, many, many challenges and unmet health needs of the Lakota Sioux Tribal Nation. And that's in a short 2 weeks. So, I was short, I was succinct, didn't tell any jokes, but I am speaking from my heart. And again, sincerely, I want to thank all of you for helping me to achieve this award and to reach a stage of my life where I can hold it up as a remembrance and honor of my achievements. Thank you.
Also, we still want to present Dr. Lester with a testimonial resolution signed by all members of the Detroit City Council. And also, we want to provide her with a certificate from acknowledging her good works from John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, and also Congressman John Conyers.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so good.
Next, we would like to welcome you to our keynote speaker, Dr. William Jenkins. He's the founder of SAFI, and SAFI is celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. And so we would like for him to come up now.
They say I could talk as long as I want. So if y'all have pillows back there, no. I hope this will be short. But I do want to talk about health disparities. And since next up September, my only title would be Old Colored Man, I do want to tell a tale about a struggle that's been around for a long time. And I will try to make it as quick as possible, but I want you to take pieces that you might agree or disagree with and research it for yourself. So I'm going to try to cover as much ground as I can, as quickly as I can. Health disparities is something that we started working on in 1991, just across the street at Spelman. And when we first got started, we didn't have a lot of help, but we had a lot of enthusiasm. So, when does this story start? It starts 150,000 years ago on a continent called Africa. And Homo sapiens spent the first 100,000 years in Africa. And then about 50,000 years ago, they started leaving Africa and heading to Europe and Asia. So that when one talks about genetic differences in population, you have to know that Africans, as the first people, have the greatest variation in genetic alleles than any other population. So when you see differences in population, it does not necessarily mean what people believe it means. It simply means that the variance is greater. We have to be very careful about how we think about these things, and we have to think about them in different ways, and we need young people to take a more systematic and scientific approach to understanding these health disparities differences than we've been able to do in the past. That's lesson one. Think about the data that you're using. And not just repeat what people tell you because they're Confederates. You don't have to believe everything a Confederate tells you, although we tend to do that. So Africans started coming to America in the 1600s. Beginning after 1650, 1660, something like that, the vast majority of Africans brought to this country landed on one small section of one small island, and not more than 2% of black Americans can tell you which island that is. If you were to ask Jews which island they landed in, they will tell you. Irish, they will tell you. Black Americans, they will not. Because black Americans tend to know very little about black Americans, and it's about time that we learn. And just in case you want to go, it's Sullivan's Island across the harbor from Charleston as the pest colony where these slave ships landed. Why is it that we don't know about us? There's something wrong with that. And in order to understand how to solve health disparities, African Americans are going to have to do something very interesting. That is, learn about African Americans. It's a job. Something happened very interesting in 1891. There was a shift in leadership. Frederick Douglass died. W.E.B. Du Bois wrote a book on Philadelphia Negro. And Booker T. Washington started working at the Tuskegee Institute. took the effort from Douglass and turned it into a new direction. One of the things that's interesting to me is that his economic movement was called the Tuskegee Experiment. Years later, when describing the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, a junior editor changed the title of the book to from the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male to the Tuskegee Experiment. And today, if you use that term, most African Americans believe that you're talking about the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male. The Tuskegee Experiment was the most important economic development program for African Americans in the history of this country. It started the National Medical Association, National Bar Association, National Nurse Association, and the list goes on and on and on. And it started Negro Health Week, which later became Public Health Week. And the reason that it's celebrated in April, it is because it's Booker T. Washington's birthday. That's Public Health Week. And yet the vast majority of people don't even know something that simple. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. One of the most interesting things I got exposed to is a reminder about something called the end of slavery in America. Now, slavery was ended in January of 1863. So Emancipation Day is in January. But Confederates kept that away from slaves in Texas for 18 months until June. So do African Americans mainly celebrate Emancipation Day? No, they celebrate Juneteenth, when Confederates told them that they were free. They waited in slavery until the Confederates told them they were free, and that's what we celebrate. It is time to stop doing what Confederates tell you to do. It's time. It's time. You know, this is a struggle. This is a struggle. And I thank God for Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is making it clear to a lot of people what it is we have to do. If you stand by quiet today, you know you would have stood by quiet in 1861. You would have stayed on the plantation and worked. And the question is, are you going to stay on the plantation now and work? That's the question each of you are going to have to answer. Because it is absolutely clear now. In the 1960s, when a lot of those of us who are now entering our twilight years, I should say, we are retiring from the scene, we're leaving it to another generation. And I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure what's going to happen. We started a number of programs beginning in the 1960s up until 1991. We started efforts to end unethical treatment of African Americans. We started articles and activities to end things like the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in the Negro male, which we became as the first group of black commissioned officers to come straight out of college and into the public health service in the 1960s, we were able to do that. We didn't pay the dues of public health service officers who worked before they got into the Public Health Service Commission Corps. We just walked in. So we had a price to pay. And we did that by starting a number of different activities. Some of you might remember the Howard University Mississippi Project and the Neighborhood Health Center movement that Jack Geiger and John Hatch started down in Mount Bayou, Mississippi. And that program has continued to grow. We started a number of other programs in the 1970s. Then, in the 1980s, we had said that if we could just produce the data necessary to describe the problems our people were having, that America would just open its arms and solve all of our health problems for us. So we published and worked on a series of books called the Heckler Report. I don't know if she ever read any of them, but it was an interesting thing that it's called the Heckler Report. And we waited for America to say, we are going to work on solving the problems of health disparities among minority populations. And we waited, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. It's always interesting to me that some researchers today write articles on health disparities and say it started with the Heckler Report. It started with the failure of the Heckler Report. It wasn't because it was successful, it was meaningful because it failed. We knew data alone would not solve the problem of health disparities in America. We had to do something. So that started another activity beginning in 1991. 27 people meeting over at Spelman's College. It was interesting because the name of the meeting was The Morbidity and Mortality Gap, Is It Due to Race or Racism? And some of the people who initially supported us, when they saw the word racism on the title, tried to back out of supporting the meeting. Today is the first time in American history where you will find a number of African Americans willing to say racism out loud. Because Confederates tell you that the problem is race. The problem is you don't look white. That's what the problem is. You wouldn't have these problems if you looked differently. The problem is not race. I don't know anything more stupid than people suggesting that the problem is race. The problem is not race, the problem is racism. It is not the color of your skin, it's the way you are treated because of the color of your skin. And if you haven't figured that out yet, may God have mercy on your soul. This is serious business. Democracy is serious business. It cannot function without the active participation of those who are affected by a democratic system. It is not. So I should tell you that I retired 2 months ago. I can say what the heck I want. Yeah. So in 1991, we started an organization called the Society for African American Public Health Issues. There was also an organization in the APHA, the Black Caucus, which was started in 1969. My first meeting at APHA, I went into the main opening session, and I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden, all the black people got up and walked out. I said, what kind of organization is this? You know? And that's how the Black Caucus got started. The Black Caucus works on a lot of practical activities. It has a series of sessions within the APHA, and that takes a great deal of energy. But a small group of us wanted to change APHA. We wanted to work in the sections. We wanted to change policy. We wanted to make a difference in a different way. Now here's the thing that's important. In spite of those differences in goal, we have worked together. It is possible for African Americans to take different routes to the same outcome and support and respect each other. It was so unfortunate that Booker T and W.E.B. spent so much time arguing with each other rather than focused on the problem. We don't want to make that mistake anymore. You know, we can approach these, achieve these ends, and by using different routes, but doing it in a respectful and supportive way. And I hope that's what we've tried to do. We've got to change the way we do business. Got to change the way that we do business. There are a lot of things I would like to tell you. I think I would like to go through a short list of things, the changes that we've had. When I left CDC to come here to Morehouse to work on starting the first MPH program at HBCU, people needed to know that you could start an MPH program at HBCU. And once that program got started, programs from all over the country started coming together. You just got to do it that first time. You've got to show that it could be done. And once you've done that, people will support you. People will support you, but you've got to do the work. Got to do the work. So there are things to be learned here. But I want to get back to one other thing. In 1983, I was asked to manage the first funds going to minority organizations for HIV in this country. On my second week in the job, I was going in to meet with the director, and there was a man outside named Dick Gregory. He said HIV was invented in a lab and it was there to exterminate black people. And I was walking into the building with David Allen at the computer guy, Microsoft guy. Gates, thank you. Gates Foundation. And I said, well, nobody black would believe something that silly. Nobody would believe AIDS was a conspiracy to exterminate black people, because it would require you to believe three things. It would require you not to pass 10th grade biology, because viruses mutate all the time. It is always figuring some way to get rid of these Homo sapiens, you know? Always. Second, it would require you not to understand how African Americans ended up in America. We did not come here on the Mayflower. We came as chattel, and we were valuable as chattel. Nobody tried to exterminate African Americans in the history of this country. Tried to scare the bejeejees out of us from time to time, like the Klan, but they never tried to exterminate us because we're valuable. Our people buy 80% of the cognac market in this country. I don't even know what cognac was because I'm a teetotaler. But nobody's going to knock off people who buy 80% of the cognac market in this country. You know, we have to understand that the purpose of racism is to control. Control the way you think. Control the way you act. Control the way you spend money. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Got to understand what the system is about and how it works. And we need a generation of people who can do that. And it will be a struggle. So when we started this effort in health disparities in 1991, we wanted to do two things. Number one, we wanted to make sure that African Americans were in the leadership of APHA. We wanted to make sure they were on the councils, on the executive board. And we worked to do that, and it's had its impact. We worked to change policy, to do policy on health disparities, and to get organizations to work together. And to some extent, it's worked. But it's like any other movement. It's any other, as it grows old, as it matures, it gets watered in certain ways. And sometimes we have to bring it back to where it was. When the idea of community participatory research was brought to us at the American Association for the Advancement of Science. It was based on the work that was done in Science Shop in Northern Europe. You know, connecting communities with scientists to identify and solve problems. One of the best community participatory research programs in the history of America is the Tuskegee study of untreated syphilis in a Negro male. It is also the most unethical research project in the history of America. How is that possible? How is that possible? Because no effort is actually solved in one dimension. There will always be people, it is something that I learned very early on in my career. I have had a lot of help. I've had a life that's been easy compared to so many other people. But I've always also known that people help me not to do what I want to do, they help me to do what they want me to do. And there's a big difference in that. Big difference in that. You've got to understand what your direction and what your goal is, and it might be that those people who help you to do what they want you to do may not be the road you want to take. You've got to be strong enough to do whatever it is that you want to do. I always kept everything in boxes in my office. Still do. Because if somebody said, you can't do this, there are the boxes. Just bring the pots. You know, it's okay. You know, I can shine shoes. I know how to, make a suit. I know how to make robes for preachers. I could figure it out. I could survive. But you've got to decide on your own direction. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here because I want you to look up these kinds of facts yourself. I want you, though, to consider that there's a generation of African Americans who are aging out, not aging out, aging in maybe. When I was a student at Georgetown in biostat, we would catch the 3P bus on Thursday at lunchtime to go to Howard University to listen to Dr. Hildreth Poindexter wax and wane about his life. He used to come in from the Maryland shore and come to Howard University Community Medicine Department and work, and then he would have lunch at 1:30, and then we would get a chance to listen to him talk. That was an incredible experience, but it was an experience that we had to sort out ourselves. At this school, you have incredible people. Dr. Satcher is there. You know, there are many other people. You should harass him. You know, every Thursday afternoon, there should be a group just listening to him talk about his experience in public health. You know? These are important, and I will ask, I've always thought that some of us should start a dinosaur club. All those who have lived beyond our life expectancy have a responsibility to talk to the young people who are coming behind us. You know? So I just hope that you could take some of these ideas and move forward. I do want to repeat one thing, because I think this is the next thing, the idea that forces us to think about new things. It is not race. It is time that we believe that the issues are not defined by our color. The issues is defined by our shared history, our shared goals, our shared commitments for a future for our families, our children, and the young people who are coming behind us. That's what should define us. It should, our culture should define us. And we do have history and values and culture, believe it or not. And it is time that we come together to appreciate that. If you don't know your family history, learn it. I am very lucky. I grew up Geechee. So at 13, I was taken out, and the local historian for the church, community church, AME Friendship Church, told me my family's history. My aunt took us on Saturday mornings and told me my family's histories since the last member came here in 1811. And having that history, knowing that my family has been in health for five generations, was important to helping me decide what I wanted to do. If you do not know your family history, if you do not know the illnesses that may affect you and your family, then you're doing yourself and your children a disservice. Because some diseases you should look out for. Learn your history, learn your community's history, and for God's sake, do something.
Are there any members from SAFI here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I just want to... Okay. I just want to, on behalf of SAFI, all the present and past officers, everybody who's benefited from the membership, the poster presentations, your selfless contributions, we just want to thank you for 25 years of SAFI being in existence.
Okay.
Also, we have a testimonial resolution signed by the members of the Detroit City Council.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And also we have a certificate of recognition from U.S. Congressman John Conyers and also John Lewis.
Oh, okay. Could I mention one other thing?
Yes, you may.
So, Friday night I was in jail. And I hadn't been to jail since I was in jail with John Lewis exactly 47 years ago. Now, I was in jail because the police department had not cleared a traffic ticket I had gotten in 2014. Very organized city. And but it was an incredible experience. And I would encourage you to go to jail. I spent that evening for 8 hours with the opportunity to talk to young black men who were struggling to survive in the streets of Atlanta. It was an opportunity to understand what our young men are facing in this country and to see them dominated in a police structure. Dominated. Not just incarcerated, but dominated. And the sense of indignation that one can have when young men are just being almost slaves again. Look out for your young brothers. Please.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Jenkins, for your words of encouragement tonight and also for your 25 years of service in SAFI. Okay, next we're going to announce our awardees of our Poindexter awardees. We're going to, Dr. Jones, who our past Poindexter recipient, she's going to help announce the various honorees. We'll help you.
Okay, so,
Dr. Trautman?
Yes. So, we are delighted
to announce that our Hildreth Poindexter awardee this year is Dr. Adewale Troutman, who is a fabulous... Dr. Troutman, his bio is also in the book. And shall I read it? Highlights. Well, I don't need to read it because Ade is a very good friend of mine, as well as a good friend of most of us in this room. He has been a health officer here in Atlanta, as well as in Louisville, Kentucky, and many other places that I probably don't know. He actually changed the name of the health department here from the Department of Health to the Department of Health and Wellness. You know, they just made it to the Fulton Board of Health, so they just sort of switched that up on you. But and he is probably most well known to many of you from his role in the groundbreaking PBS special, Unnatural Causes. Is Inequality Making Us Sick? And that film continues to be used to illustrate for people that health goes beyond individual genes or individual behaviors, and that it's really about the context of our lives. It's a groundbreaking film series, and your role in that was pivotal, especially in that first hour-long segment in Sickness and in Health. So we are delighted to honor your life work in the line of Dr. Poindexter, and if you could come, please, or should we come to you? You want your cane?
Okay, on behalf of the Black Caucus of Health Workers, we would like to give this award to you as being the 2017 recipient of the Hildreth A. Poindexter Award. Also, Black Caucus of Health Workers, we'd like to present this testimonial resolution presented to you, signed by the members of the Detroit City Council. And also, we'd like the certificate of special recognition from Congressman John Conyers and also Congressman John Lewis.
I was just asked if I wanted to say anything. Are you kidding me? First of all, I've never spoke after my good friend over there. Till today, but interesting enough, one of my first notes to share with you this evening was Know Your History. So you did a fantastic job on that. There's so many things I would want to say. I'm also in the Dinosaurs Club. I retired a year ago after some 50 years of service in one way or another. There's so many things I'd want to say. I'll leave it. I'll be very short, though. The first is, black folk are on the critical list. 30,000 souls have died of excess death each year. 30,000 souls unable to meet, to see, or move, or agitate for the race. I wrote that 35 years ago when I sat down with Dr. Satcher and we worked on the series, what was to be a series, what if we were equal. That number had risen in just the African American community alone to 83,000 and change. Nobody knows what it is today because it did not include Latinos, Native Americans, and other groups. Probably 100,000 or more died in excess, and you know what that means. It means they shouldn't have happened. They died before their time. We have responsibility in terms of knowing our history and being about the process of change, transformational change. It's important for us to also begin a love affair with you. Yes. we often get wrapped up in our work and we don't think about who we are. We don't think about taking care of ourselves. We let things go. If you're not in love with yourself, you can't produce really. You really are shortening what's available, not only to you and your family, but to the nation as a whole. You know, black folks have been under the thumb for hundreds of years. And I think the only other thing I would mention in that regard is, I recently began thinking about years, Dr. Satcher, as in, what does a year feel like? And I said, damn, this feels really heavy. And I said, what does 200 years feel like? What do 400 years feel like in your gut, in your relationships, in your recognition of God or how you see Him? 400 years, that ain't no joke. And you see pictures of brothers working on the plantation, and you know maybe they live for 50, 60 years, but 400 years of that is just unbelievable. And then when you add on to that, I'll borrow some history from my friend, with slavery ending, in 1863, 1865, which number you use. And Reconstruction begins. Reconstruction rapidly gets pushed aside by the rise of the Klan. And you have Jim Crow, the Black Codes. At the turn of the century, one of the leading causes of death of black men is what, lynching? Then you go through the 20s, and the 30s, and the 40s, and the Klan has just taken over. And then 1964, you finally get to a civil rights legislation after 300 years, starting from 1619. So the reason this thing about history is so important to me, as I lecture around the country sometimes, somebody invariably raises their hand and say, you know, he's talking about racism, man, and that's gone. We got a black president. So wait a minute, sit down, take a look at the history, and then tell me why you think that. And when you start from 1619 to 1864, and then say, what's the likelihood that from 1864 to 2015, we've eliminated the effects of racism? It is impossible. And I would say from my own experience, every institution in this country is subject to racism at its core somewhere. And if you think you can do this work, we can do this work without addressing that issue, you're wrong. So your life has to be about that. And remember also, a love affair with yourself. I can't say that enough. I see my daughter is taking my picture right there. That's Nandi Marshall, DRPH from Armstrong University in Savannah. Whose doctoral dissertation is about social determinants of health. My goodness, guess. And her colleague Crystal next to her. So I will probably sit down, but I've been a part of this institution in many ways. I was on faculty here for a while, and I miss Dr. Satcher. I miss being here, and one of the great pleasures and privileges of my life was getting an opportunity to work with you. So I agree with that Thursday afternoon. Find a brother and sit down and make him talk.
Dr. Troutman, before you sit down, I wanted to just read the inscription on his award. The Black Caucus of Health Workers of the American Public Health Association presents the Hildreth Augustus Poindexter Distinguished Award to Adewale Troutman, MD, MPH, MA, CPH, in recognition of your generosity, extraordinary service, support, commitment, dedication, research, exemplary leadership, and exceptional contributions to the fields of public and population health sciences on Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. Congratulations.
You should know I wrote that myself.
Next, we would like to acknowledge and congratulate the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs for being the Consortium Public Health recipient of the Hildreth Poindexter Award this year. President right now is Dr. Cynthia Harris.
We want to thank Dr. Cynthia Harris for allowing her students to be the 2017 Black Caucus of Health Workers CAP Student Fellows. They have been an honor to work with, even though it was just a short amount of time. They're already leaders. You know, they come in, you just give them a few moments of instructions, and they just flew. And so we appreciate them, and we hope to embellish the opportunities that we can provide for them next year.
First of all, I want to thank the Black Caucus of Health Workers for recognizing the Consortium of African American Public Health Programs. As Dr. Jenkins spoke earlier, our programs exist because someone had a vision and wanted to move our programs, to develop these programs forward. And I want to give thanks and honor to Dr. Jenkins, because you stayed the course with the Morehouse program. There are now 9 strong HBCU programs, okay, in public health. We have come together as a result of that vision, as a consortium. And those programs are Charles Drew University, Bethune-Cookman University, Florida A&M University, University, so Valley State University, Jackson State University, Mary Medical College, Morehouse School of Medicine, the very first. And then also we have Tennessee State University. So these are the programs that we have. We are a consortium. We were founded in the late 90s, and the very first consortium or coordinating center was at Morgan State University. Morgan State under Dr. John Bronner, followed 5 years later by Morehouse School of Medicine under Dr. Pat Rodney. And now it is still at Florida A&M University, and I've been honored to serve as the coordinating chair. I also want to also give acknowledgement to our staff who work with us, Ms. Marcia Dustin Lawrence, and also one of our graduates who also work with us, Ms. Jacqueline Kamari. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you all for this vision and this recognition, and I also have to thank someone, because the reason why I am even here tonight is the person that really truly is the wind beneath my wings. And that is my husband, Ms. Julio.
Thank you. Okay, next we would like to honor Morehouse School of Medicine for being the academic institution recipient of the Poindexter Award.
All right. So,
so on behalf of the Black Caucus of Health Workers, we would like to present this award to Morehouse School of Medicine, along with the testimonial resolution, thanking Morehouse for fulfilling their mission and carrying it out. And also we have certificates of recognition from Congressman John Lewis and also Congressman John Conyers.
Thank you. I am Stephanie Miles Richardson, Assistant Dean of Graduate Education and Public Health and Director of the Master of Public Health Program, and Dr. Brown is being kind. This actually says to Dr. Valerie Montgomery Rice, who is our President and Dean. She's not able to be here. She's on board-related travel, but asked me to accept the award on her behalf. At Morehouse School of Medicine, you know, we were founded to increase the number of primary care physicians in the state of Georgia. And we have expanded to become essentially an academic health center. And so in addition to preparing physicians, we have a graduate education in biomedical sciences program, which focuses on discovery. And we have the graduate education in public health program, which has our MPH program now. And beginning in the fall of 2018, our executive MPH. We're very excited about that. And so our vision here is leading the creation and advancement of health equity, and so we're very well aligned with the Black Caucus of Health Workers in that regard. So we thank you so much for being here. We gave you a little bit of traffic to make sure you know you're in Atlanta. We thank you for coming. We're pleased to host, and thank you for the award.
Thank you. Next, we would like to honor the African Methodist Episcopal Church International Health Commission for being the faith-based organization recipient of the Heldrix A. Poindexter Award. Okay. I would like to present this award to the AME Bishop, Bishop C. Wright, who is the chairman of the Health Commission, and also along with the, presenting him with the testimonial resolution. Also the medical director, Dr. Burnett, who is an alumnus of Morehouse School of Medicine. She received her MD and her Master's of Public Health here. And then also I have this award to our executive director, Dr. Miriam Natalie Mitchell.
Thank you, my brothers and sisters. As we come to this moment, we are so grateful for this honor. We are so grateful for the work of the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. We're grateful for our director of medical services. If you're interested in knowing, and I hope you are interested in knowing all about what the AME Church has to offer, you can go to amehealth.org and you amec.org. And you will be able to find all of the many things that we offer to help people. I happen to be assigned, as I have been assigned, the director of the Health Commission in July when I was elected bishop. 3 months later, I was changing plans in Detroit and went into full cardiac arrest. July 31st, I had quadruple bypass. God has a wonderful way and a wonderful sense of humor. On November the 7th of 2016, I was released from the hospital 1 year ago today. So I am so happy to be able to be here tonight.
I am very thankful for this award. And I said something to three students earlier today, and I'm going to repeat what I said because I told Dr. Stephanie Miles Richardson that it was what I intended to say tonight. If you find in your work that people are telling you, yes, go ahead, stop. You do not need yes people in your life because then life becomes comfortable. This work has been an uphill battle since I started in 1992 and inherited first aid stations. And when I said, why aren't we doing anything to help the education of our people? I was told, but that's not what the Health Commission does. And I began to scratch my head. We now have what I call the public health machine of faith-based organizations. Everybody told me no. Everybody told me that it was a dumb idea. They fought me left and right, but now people call our name. Now people come and ask us to help. Now we are saving lives and we are building partnerships, agencies as well as those vendors come to us and ask us to let them help us do our work. Students do not let anybody tell you no. The benefit being an AUC baby, MD, MPH from Morehouse School of Medicine, my MDiv from ITC, is that I grew up in my profession with people telling me you can do whatever it is that you're called to do. So be here, be at your HBCU public health program, and make sure that you get the Thursday afternoon with Dr. Satcher.
Thank you so much.
Also in the bulletin, the information that is under the Lewis Stokes Legislative Service Award is that of the Health Commission.
Okay, let's breathe. Could you tell I used to teach this? All my students, let's breathe. We're getting there. I know someone asked me, they said, Dr. Norman, when Dr. Brown was preparing the candidates for the awardees, I said, we have so much talent. We have so many people with so much talent, with so many accomplishments. It's very difficult to identify or narrow down which one would be the candidates for this evening. And our theme for this evening is From Poindexter to Benjamin, the hidden jewels?
Figures.
You was listening, Ms. Daniels. But it was great because when we were talking, I said, how do we really narrow it down, and how do we actually identify the individuals with significant contributions? So I have been asked, and I'm honored to announce our Community Service Legislative Awardees for this evening, and one of them will be Dr. Deborah Renee Griffin, MD, and a member of the Family American College of Emergency Physicians. Dr. Griffin is one of our own. She's resided in Rosewell, Georgia, with her husband and children over the past 24 years. She is originally from Southern California area, which that's okay, you're in Georgia now. And we welcome you. And she is a graduate of the Howard Medical College. She has also completed her residency in emergency medicine in 1992. She's a diplomat, as I said, with the American Board of Emergency Medicine, and she received her initial certificate in 1996. In addition to that, Dr. Griffin has been a clinical associate professor of emergency medicine with the Philadelphia College of Medicine since 2010. She was appointed the emergency medicine subspecialty coordinator for the graduate medical education department at GMC in 2014. She has a lengthy list of accomplishments. However, there's one thing that stands out that she had underlined in bold letters, that she's a strong supporter of our students. She worked collectively, long time, hourless, working with our pre-med students to help for them to be successful. She assists them in preparing for the state board in order to be licensed, accredited, to certify, and to work, to be employed. She's also a member of the Friends of Life Foundation of the AKA sorority. In addition to that, I could go on and on. But I will suffice it to say that our other awardee candidate for the Lewis Stokes Legislative Community Service Award is none other than the other half of the Griffith family. And I'm proud to announce we have a white husband and wife emergency medical service team. And that award you go to Dr. Arthur Griffith, who happened to be the other half of Dr. Deborah Griffith, who is also a fellow of the American College of Emergency Medicine. His residency completed from Howard University. He is currently the vice chair of the Department of Emergency Medicine, Montgomery, Virginia. In addition to that, he served as the medical director for the Department of Emergency Medicine for Emory Johns Creek Hospital, the emergency department at Dunwoody Medical Center, and then we go on down, Howard University, Medical St. Andrews Emergency Medical Center. Isn't it an honor as we stand and represent and recognize our own? I am truly delighted and excited to bring to you Mr. and Mrs. Dr. and Dr. Deborah and Arthur Griffiths. Thank you so, so much. I'm going to ask each to say a few words because I have their awardees and awards, which you know I would definitely get, make sure they get them. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. I am truly humbled to actually accept this award and definitely giving thanks to Dr. Satcher. I have definitely listened to your words many and many times through Georgia State Medical Association. And Dr. Georges Benjamin, it's incredible that we would see you here because I actually went to Howard University to be taught by my matriarchs and patriarchs, and now I'm becoming one of those matriarchs. Anyway, but thank you for everything. And Dr. Jenkins, thank you for your wonderful words. I really have realized something fell into my lap that I just had to go on and do. I find myself more and more being that person who actually ushers in that next generation of physicians and lets you know that, and physicians and students knowing that you can do anything you want. Anything you want is possible. And sometimes just me being there is interesting. I don't even realize that students will come up and ask me, thank you for being here. Thanks for taking your time with me. But that's just something I do because we have to make a difference in this world and we have to open those doors for our people because healthcare is a right, but education is also a right. So from the medical students that I teach, the scribes that work with me, and down to the young students that I do programs with in elementary schools to make sure they have the education and they're not hungry when they're going to school and opening up those programs, it's up to us. It's up to us to make that change and to decrease that gap and to decrease the health disparities. And part of that is decreasing the gap in education and increasing the opportunities open to all of us. So thank you very much, and I'm very, very humbled. And
thank you so much, and I'm so proud and happy to be married to such a brilliant, beautiful, elegant, and compassionate woman. My partner in life, my partner in crime. I've been so blessed. When I came to Howard University, I met Dr. Poindexter, and he was one of the first ones I learned from as far as public health. Dr. Georges Benjamin, we have always looked up to as one of the stalwarts and cornerstones of the specialty of emergency medicine. My grandmother was an educator for 50 years, taught from the coal mines of West Virginia to the inner city, D.C., to bring our young people up. My father taught me what public health was even before I knew the term. Mm-hmm. He was a dentist with a doctorate in facial maxillary reconstruction. Mm-hmm. He took the family to Sri Lanka, which was Ceylon back then. They spent 2 years there where he did work. I wasn't born there, but I was conceived there and still enjoy the food. He took our family to Cairo, Egypt for a year while he worked at the American University at Cairo. He took several tours on the ship Hope where he provided care in the communities on the west coast of Africa. He taught me that you go out with a mission and what you think the people need. But if you're not listening, you can't provide what they actually need. He said to me, and this was 40-something years ago, he said, our mission was we would go there and fix these cleft palates and do this wonderful thing. But the local provider said, well, that's well and good, but once you leave, we're at the same place. teach us how to do it. And they changed their mission. And it became a wonderful thing because then the providers locally could do it. Public health, I think of my brother who has passed. He was a dentist also with a master's in epidemiology and biostatistics. He taught me personally and also my wife while she was a student what these studies mean. When you read a study, read that study. Look at the sample size, because anything can be proved with faulty data. So know what you're reading, and please know what you're quoting. But we have an opportunity to be mentors in our community. I now, at this stage of my career, I'm blessed to be working with the veterans at Cavis in Montgomery, Alabama. I run home so I can go do my mentoring sessions at an elementary school. And it's important to start when they're young to show them anything is possible. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you all.
For our academic institution recipient of the Community Service Award, Spelman College.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Dr. Rosalind Gregory Bass. I'm director of the Health Careers Program and faculty in the Environmental and Health Sciences Program at Spelman College. Today, I am here on behalf of Dr. Mary Schmidt Campbell, our 10th president. She had a prior engagement. However, we want to definitely thank you all for this honor. We sincerely thank the National Black Caucus of Health Workers. Your work as an organization definitely has not gone unnoticed. The one thing that I can say about Spelman College, especially in light of the award that we received, is that when young women come to our campus, one of the first markers that they see is Spelman College is a place where women serve. It's a time-honored tradition in our family as a graduate where we come as children and take a picture by the marker and then again take another picture at the time that we're graduating. But it sets the stage for understanding that it is not an option to serve, but it is an expectation. And so our journeys have, especially when looking at all of the alum who have come through those hallowed halls and who have gone on to do phenomenal things, it is important for us to understand our history. It is important for us to know that we are not the first, but that we stand on the shoulders of women who have come before us, such as Dr. Sophia Jones, the first black female graduate of University of Michigan who came to Spelman in the 1800s to start the first nurse training program for former slaves. We stand on the shoulders of Dr. Georgia Dewelly, the first Spelman alumnus to get her MD from Meharry Medical College, as well as those alum like Dr. Audrey Manley, Dr. Deborah Prothro-Stith, Dr. Virginia Floyd, Dr. Fleeta Mass Jackson, and all of the women who are committed to making sure that we address the care for the underserved and that our students know that before they leave, they should actually reach to their right, to their left, and behind so that they're able to move forward as a collective to battle conditions associated with racial injustice, health disparities, as well as educational inequalities. And so again, on behalf of our institution, we sincerely thank you all for this honor. And I'll just say for Dr. Jenkins, as someone who knows her Gullah history, growing up some from Guatemala Island and Edisto Island, that we must continue to educate those who are coming behind us so that they know what their charge shall be. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we're going to honor the AME Social Justice Commission for them being the recipient of the Lewis Stokes Legislative Award Service.
Sister Jackie DuPont Walker was not able to be with us this evening, nor was Bishop Jackson, Lord help. because they are working on a legislative piece for us right now. And so the Social Action Commission is very grateful for this award. The Health Commission is grateful for our collaborative work. They help us do our work around affordable care, the Affordable Care Act, as well as any other health piece of legislation. They keep us informed so that we can then do the best that we can do. Neither one of us, Sister Jackie or myself, or either Bishop, can do the work by ourselves. It is a collaborative work. And so I know that there are members of the Health Commission as well as the Social Action Commission that are here. And since it's difficult to get out of your seat, if you'll just raise your hand for us a minute.
Is Dr. Virginia Kane here tonight? Can we come up, please? We'd like to thank Dr. Kane for her selfless contributions in making the 49th Poindexter Award and Ceremony Dinner a success. Dr. Kane, without your selfless contributions and always being present and giving us direction and guidance, we just want to thank you for making this event a success. We want to present you with this testimonial resolution signed by all members of the Detroit City Council. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
And also a certificate of recognition for your hard work from Congressman John Conyers and also Congressman John Lewis.
Thank you.
All right. Next, I want to pass the mantle as president, from president-elect to president, to Dr. Barbara Norman. I met her during the 2015. Black Caucus of Health Workers business meeting. Since then, she has continuously been supportive of my endeavors. When I'm right, she'll say, April, go forth. If I'm wrong, she says no. So she'll teach me or correct me, and I thank her for everything. She's opened up her house to me during my visits in Chicago, just like she had nothing else to do, but I appreciate her. And so I would just like to honor her for all her contributions. First, I'd like to present this testimonial resolution to Dr. Norman. It was signed by the Detroit City Council.
Wow.
Okay. And then, and also the certificate of recognition from Congressman John Conyers and Congressman John Lewis. And thank you for the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. I just love you. I just love her. Thank you so much. That's why she told me to keep my remarks short, but I appreciate it. You know, I'm going to have mine all over my front room. unlike some of you who are so humble, I want you to know I'm excited. Thank you very, very much. All right, I know I'm getting ready to wrap it up because I can tell your stomach's in. I'm hungry, hungry, hungry. But you must admit, wasn't this beautiful? Don't we have so many talented people? Let's give it all up. That is beautiful. And as a former captain myself in the United States Army, I want to salute you and my cousin there. Thank you very much, all of our honorees. And I want to salute you for coming out here and spending this time with us. I especially want to acknowledge our students. How many students are in the audience? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And I had to acknowledge him because I was reminded last night when Dr. Satcher was talking, you know, when he was talking about his experiences here. And I was sharing with them when they were talking about when we first started with the caucus. And I go back to like 40 years or 38 years with the caucus. And I remember the time when we would come to the conference, you didn't see many of us. If you did, you may see one or two here and one or two of us over there, you know, am I right? And then out of the one or two, two of them act like they didn't even know who you are or who they were. And that's the reason why those of us who share the common goal and the camaraderie realize as we stand by yourself, you're invisible. But that next day when you walk in that conference room, when you walk in collectively in arm, you are quite visible and you'll be recognized. And that was like the founding of our caucus, not only with the public health, most of our professional organizations have had the same experiences, and this is the way we came together to help support. In order to grow, we must support our youth. We must support those who are coming. Even though you're at this conference today, it looks like it's a lot of us out there. But there's still only a few, because when you go back to your individual school, and you had to deal with the administration and the faculty, people like me, you don't always get what you know you're entitled to. But the purpose of the caucus and the member and the board is to let you know that we're here to help service you. I don't know, it's a young lady named Keisha, is she here tonight? She was in the student meeting Monday night. Is she here? I want to acknowledge a young lady named Keisha Alexander, I believe her last name. She came to our meeting and she has agreed, she graduates next May. And she had agreed to be the coordinator network for the student body that was in attendance the other night. You remember? We had agreed, we have over, by the way, those of you who were there, who attended and participated, we have now received close to 130 signatures of the name in the email that hopefully we can pull that information together. We plan to develop a form, a profile form, which will go out to everyone who we receive the email from. Those of you who are here who also would like to participate, please sign up and give us that information, because we're going to compile it and hope to prepare a compendium. So when you attend the conference next year, the 50th year anniversary of the Caucus Poindexter Award, that we will have it available to you, hopefully before then. It would identify all the students, it would identify the faculty, it would identify individuals who are in support, who is interested. You'll be able to contact them, help get information. We also plan to have next year a scientific board presentation for those of you who are going to be graduating in May, who have completed your thesis. I know somebody had told me they're doing one in the epidemiology. Somebody's doing something environmental. You thought I forgot, didn't you? I know we got somebody who's presenting one in maternal child health in comparison of fibroid tumors. We have one that's doing the one about the hair, the difference of the hair. Thought I forgot, didn't you? I told you I'm raised in the church and we had to learn the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you think I'm kidding? Do you think I'm kidding? So in addition to that, I know someone else asked me for the plans for next year and the partnerships that we made, and of course with Dr. Richardson and with Dr. Sandra. After that meeting, hopefully we can create more partnerships, because you know the challenges that we have now in having to support students financially
And we want to start setting up some kind of partnership for those of you who want to attend. Start preparing now for next year for San Diego. Certainly it's not going to be exciting as it is here in Morehouse, but we'll do the best we can. So with that and any other information or questions or answers, I would turn it now over to, back to our president, past president. I am now president for the 1950, for the 50th anniversary. Okay, you're not going to say. And now for our benediction. Oh, come in. Thank you. Oh, isn't this exciting? I want to thank you, Dr. Richardson. I've said that, Sandra. I want to thank you. This has been beautiful. I don't want to go home. Okay, now for the benediction. Oh, I do want to say one other thing. Who mentioned about the CBC? Was that Dr. Jenkins talking about the Congressional Black Caucus, the Health Legislative Committee? I want to announce and want to state also, I was present at one of those first convening meetings. I was the first chair of the Congressional Health Legislative Committee. I sat in planning with Shirley Chisholm, those of you remember her, and we sat down with Lou Stokes and some of the members who are here now to set up for that first Congressional Black Caucus. Then when it was initially intended for the purpose of promoting our health care, and now it has grown so wide and so large that the first dinner was $25. It was chicken, fried chicken, and chicken bag, and we sat around the table. Yes, ma'am. And the hotel we stayed in was Washington Hilton. Now they call it the Booker T. Washington. Whenever we have a conference, they say, here come all those people. So they know now they take up all the conference and hotel. Thank you, bless you, have a safe trip, and now for the benediction. Thank you, God.
If you are able, let us stand. God, we thank you for laughter. We thank you for awards. We thank you for recognition. But most of all, God, we thank you for all of the work that you have committed us to do now and into the future. Help us to remember our history. Help us to remember that we must create a cultural shift. Now, God, as we depart from this place, we'll never depart from you. We ask also, God, that you bless the food, the hands that prepared it. Let it be nourishing to our body and help us to remember that everybody is not as privileged as we are to have a meal this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, now you may eat. You want to go live. You want to bless the table before you eat. That was so nice. We're going to get, maybe we can still get them to get that congressional report. You know, I had my little notes. Being awesome. Did I? That's why I knew I had you. Yeah.